KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have mostly clear, sunny skies here this morning and 63 degrees our current temperature here at the KJN studios. We look for mostly sunny skies today and a high of 83 with south-southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak man after an early morning incident on Saturday. At 2:23 a.m., officers arrested 29-year-old Chase Michael Samples of Red Oak in the 800 block of North 4th Street. He was charged with serious assault causing bodily injury, a serious misdemeanor. Samples was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $1,000 cash bond. Red Oak PD were assisted by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office in the arrest. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest Friday night of a Corning woman after a traffic stop. At 11:19 p.m., deputies arrested 39-year-old Jill Christine Curran of Corning for driving while revoked. Curran was pulled over at the intersection of U Avenue and West 4th Street in Villisca. She was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. An early morning accident in Red Oak resulted in no injuries after a vehicle struck another parked vehicle. At approximately 1:30 a.m., a 1999 Ford Escort driven by 17-year-old Sebastian Cage Meek of Red Oak was traveling westbound in the 400 block of East Reed Street when he struck a legally parked 2007 Chevy Tahoe on the rear driver's side. Police report cite manual use of an electronic communication device as a reason for Meek being distracted during the crash. Damage to the Tahoe was estimated at $1,200, and damage to Meek's Ford was estimated at $800. Meek was cited for failure to maintain control. A person coming to serve jail time for Union County was hit with additional charges at the Adams County Jail on Friday. At 12:56 p.m. on Friday, 31-year-old Whitney Lee Card of Grand River arrived at the Adams County Sheriff's Office to serve jail time for Union County. During the booking procedure, Card was found to be in possession of 9 small white prescription pills. Card did not have a valid prescription for the medication. Card was subsequently charged with possession of contraband and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports 3 people were arrested Thursday night on Gingery Lane in Glenwood and charged with disorderly conduct. 18-year-old Jonathan Joe Eric, 32-year-old Amanda Faye Malm, and 30-year-old Robert Richard Fate, all of Glenwood, were taken into custody at around 10:50 p.m. Their bonds were set at $300 each. Governor Kim Reynolds, Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg, and Iowa Workforce Development Director Beth Townsend on Friday announced that Adair, Guthrie, and Audubon counties have become the 83rd, 84th, and 85th home-based Iowa communities. They joined other state and community leaders along with local businesses and veterans to recognize their efforts to become the newest home-based Iowa communities. Homebase Iowa is a one-of-a-kind program to connect veterans and transitioning service members with almost 2,000 businesses statewide who have pledged to hire over 10,000 veterans. In addition to the 85 communities statewide, the program also has 24 college and university partners. The program connects businesses and communities with veteran job seekers using the Find a Veteran feature on the Homebase Iowa website. Find a Veteran allows Homebase Iowa businesses and communities to access all active veteran job seekers who have submitted their resume through the website. The program has had over 250 veteran resumes submitted in 2018. Iowa offers many incentives to veterans and transitioning service members, including no state taxes on military pension and veteran hiring preference, which allows veteran preferential treatment in hiring decisions for both public and private organizations. Additionally, the state of Iowa provides up to $7,500 for the down payment or closing cost of a home through the Iowa Finance Authority Military Home Ownership Assistance Program. The state also provides in-state tuition rates for qualifying veterans, their spouses, and their dependents. Homebase Iowa designates qualified communities as centers of opportunity for military veterans based on 4 standards. Within a designated community, at least 10% of eligible hiring businesses must become HBI businesses and pledge to hire veterans. Community develops its own incentive package for veterans. The community prominently displays Homebase Iowa community designation, and the community must obtain a resolution of support from the appropriate local governing body. All 3 counties have met or exceeded those requirements. For more information on Homebase Iowa, visit homebaseiowa.gov. Police have arrested a 44-year-old Muscatine man on suspicion of stealing dozens of brass vases that marked graves at a local cemetery. The Muscatine Journal says Thomas Edgar Thornburg was arrested Thursday night on suspicion of theft. A police report filed last month said 15 to 20 vases had been taken from Muscatine Memorial Park. Cemetery officials later said that up to 50 of the urns may be missing. The vases are chained to markers at the cemetery, are 10 inches tall, and weigh up to 8 pounds. Cemetery manager Cindy Allen has said each vase can cost up to $650 to replace. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources is warning you to remain careful if you plan on being out on the state's rain-swollen rivers this weekend. DNR Outreach Coordinator for River Programs Todd Robertson says high water brought on by heavy rains is sweeping a significant amount of extra material into the fast-moving current of the rivers.
When you get a lot of rain, if you just went down and stood by the river and looked upstream, you would see all this debris coming downstream. Trees, tree limbs, things that have washed in off the bank. Those things can be very hazardous for people.
Robertson says you must have enough life jackets on your boat.
An adult doesn't have to have his life jacket on, but it has to be on board, which when you think about it, when you need it, if you don't have it on, it's not going to do you any good. So you might as well just have it on.
And for kids under 12, if they don't have a life jacket, it could cost you.
If you take the kids out of the family and they don't have their life jackets on, you can face citation for sure.
Robertson suggests instead of rivers, family outings may be safer on so-called flatwater venues like lakes and large ponds. The head of the Iowa Flood Center says for the time being, the flood threat has subsided here in the state of Iowa.
Some rivers, mostly in the north, are at elevated stage levels, some exceeding flood levels, and of course water flows downstream. So we expect that some stations downstream will also experience some, hopefully minor, flooding.
That's hydrologist Witold Krajewski. He's director of the Iowa Flood Center at the University of Iowa. Krajewski says the peak flood season in Iowa is typically in May, June, and early July, and the data shows flooding is becoming a common occurrence.
Well, we are experiencing, this. So the temperatures and the humidity are slowly increasing. And so those are favorable conditions for precipitation.
He recommends that city and county officials pore over the flood prediction maps his center has developed for Iowa and make plans for responding to flood levels that haven't yet been seen in Iowa. Krajewski made his comments during taping of the Iowa Press program that aired on Iowa Public Television. We are just in the first week of July, but the administrators of the Iowa State Fair are getting ready for its August run. Fair spokesperson Mindy Williamson says today is the Corn Dog Kickoff fundraiser.
They have a fair food grazing party. There is silent auction and then a live auction. There's fireworks, and then we fire up the sky gliders so that you can sort of see the fair before the fair starts.
The event is hosted by the Iowa State Fair Blue Ribbon Foundation, which was created in 1993 to raise funds for the upkeep of the fairgrounds.
The fairgrounds were sort of in disrepair, and a group of very smart folks came together and said, I think that we can raise some funds to make sure that our historic fairgrounds gets the love that it needs.
They have upgraded various buildings and attractions throughout the years.
This year, we are updating our grandstand area, and not the historic part of our grandstand, but more so the stage, the restrooms, and adding about 4,000 seats to that.
She says that work will be ready for this year's edition of the fair.
On August 9th, when we open the gates here at the fair, the grandstand will be new and ready to roll. Our first concert on Thursday is our Christian show, Casting Crowns, and so it'll be people's first glimpse to kind of see the new stage, the new sound, the new lights. It'll be almost twice the size the stages as it was in the past.
The Corn Dog Kickoff begins at 6:30 on Saturday evening in the Varied Industries building. And many families working the land in rural Iowa for decades have been fiercely loyal to certain brands of farm equipment. But as farm operations grow and the next generation of farmers takes over, that intense brand loyalty is changing, according to Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And he says that we've known this for the last number of years. As farms get bigger and bigger, they become more and more sophisticated. They do become a little bit more business-minded. And when you become more business-minded, you make decisions that are not based only on emotion. That certainly comes into it, but it also has to economically play out. In other words, Blade says the bottom line will likely trump brand loyalty as time goes on. That's a look at the latest in state and local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Florence Joan Rice Cook, age 90 of Stewart, died June 25th at home. A memorial mass for Florence Joan Cook will be held today at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home and Crematory in Stewart has the arrangements. Toby Henningsen, age 87 of Elkhorn, died June 28th at the Salem Lutheran Nursing Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Toby Henningsen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church, followed by lunch served at the church. Casey S. Bullock, aged 29 of Audubon, died June 30th in Webster County. Funeral services for Casey Bullock will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Gray Heritage Rose Garden in Gray. Seating is limited. Folks are asked to bring their lawn chairs and blankets to sit on. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Donald Dean Anderson, age 85 of Harlan, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Donald Dean Anderson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. George Kordick, age 79 of Bridgewater, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A mass of Christian burial for George Kordick will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Alvin Fox, age 82 of Bridgewater, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Alvin Fox are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Gene Williams, age 68 of Messina, died Friday at home. Funeral services for Gene Williams are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.